And I didn't introduce myself earlier. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's just good to have you here with us. This series that we've been in, I Choose, is one that to me has just really been so helpful, and it's really been one that I've been digging through myself personally. And I think sometimes if you want your pastor to preach good messages, they've got to be ones that he's gone through and worked through and living through. And taking God's word and applying it to his own life, and we'd like to think that that happens all the time. But you know, sometimes it's just easy to get in and give some information and kind of go on. But this series has really been one, as you've kind of walked through it with me, it's been one where I've just been really trying to apply these things, and God's been teaching me on a lot of this, just some new things to put into my life to make me more productive for him, and just to be able to achieve the purpose that he has for me. And so that's where we've been. And so the series is really good. We've been talking about this kind of title, I Choose, because when it all comes down to it, what are we? We're a product of our choices, aren't we? No matter where we are, if life is good, it is a product of choices that we've made that have allowed things to work in our lives. If we're not at a good place, then we've made some choices that have brought us to a place that God just hasn't been able to do the things in us that he wants to do. And so this idea of choosing and making choices is so important, because listen, if we are at this point the product of the choices we've made, but you know, going forward, we need to understand tomorrow will be the product of the choices we make today. So we need to understand from God's perspective, what is it that he wants us to choose, and how does he want that to affect our lives? And so today I want us to go into the fourth title and the fourth installment of this, and talking about this choice. Just let me ask you a question. How many of you, and if you would just participate, humor me and participate, how many of you would say that you wish you had more time to do the things that are important to you? How many of you wish you had more time? Yeah, I think all of us would say that, or have at least said that in our lives, that we wish we had more time, because we often find ourselves running out of it. We wish we had more time to rest, more time to read, or spend time with our kids or grandkids, or to garden. Maybe it's to fish. Maybe it's to do whatever that you like to do. You just wish you had more time to do it. But what happens is that when you have something really important and you really wish you could do it, there's other things that need to be done, right? The yard's got to be mowed, the house has got to be cleaned, all the things that come in that our lives have to be done. I mean, we have to get that Instagram photo just right, you know, the right filter on it and all that. Yesterday, we're having a yard sale at my house. And Kelly and I are out there trying to do some things, and my daughter Allie, who's 14, comes out and says, "Dad, I need your phone." And I'm like, "Why do you need my phone?" She's like, "Well, I've got to check up on my Snapchat, because people are going to think I'm ignoring them." And I'm thinking, so that's what's important right at the moment. You know, I kind of need your help. But it was important to her that her Snapchat was caught up. And so for many of us, we find ourselves like that. We've got urgent things that need to be done, and sometimes we may be missing out on what really is most important in our lives. And so I want us to kind of dig down in it, because here's the thing. We spend a lot of time with that. If you ask somebody how they're doing, what is the answer that you get most of the time? I'm doing fine, I'm good, but I'm what? Busy. I'm busy. Man, if you know, it's just one of those things. I'm busy. You know, things are just busy. Things are just hectic. Things are just, you know, da 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 da, and it just kind of goes on, and it finds that. That's one of the places that we spend so much of our time, and I know even for me, I've been guilty of saying that sometimes way too much, and it's just one of those things that happens. Because we find ourselves trying to take care of so many things, and oftentimes we miss out. Here's what I know, that Satan is really good, that if he can't make us bad, he will make us busy. And he will keep us from doing what God wants us to do, from being at the places that God needs us to be, to being focused in on hearing what God wants us to hear. So if he can't get us, you know, to be bad and to break fellowship with God by our behavior, he'll just keep us busy enough where we don't hear any of the good stuff and we'll kind of completely miss out on it. So here's the thing. If so many of us, almost all of us raised our hands, if all of us know that we need more time, how do we address this issue? Because it seems to be that if we're all raising our hands, then this is something we really need to talk about. And here we are, a bunch of believers and a bunch of people focused in on church and what God has for us and being spiritual. But yet we say we've allowed too much to take place in our lives. And so I want us to be able to look at this and have time to choose what we need to do. Because we say we don't have time, but we do have time, don't we? We just choose to use our time other places. And so I want to help us from God's Word be able to see what is most important and how we do that. So anytime that we choose one thing, we definitely choose another. So today I want to talk about choosing the important over the urgent. Choosing the important over the urgent, because I think we sometimes confuse those two, and it really becomes one of those things where we miss out on so many good things because we've focused in on the things that are right in front of us. And I think that we have to distinguish those two if we're really going to be able to move beyond it. Because here's the thing, that important things are often urgent, right? We think that they are, but the thing is that urgent things are not always important. Important things are urgent because we need those in our lives, but urgent things, things that we sometimes throw out there, aren't necessarily what we find is urgent. And so if you're a business owner and you got an angry customer, well, you need to take care of that angry customer, don't you? I mean, that's got to happen, but isn't it important, though, to develop things that help prevent you from having angry customers? So which one do you spend more time on? If your car engine needs to be fixed or repaired, well, that may be urgent, but isn't changing the oil in it on a regular basis pretty important, too, because that may be why you have to fix your engine? So one's urgent because you didn't focus on what was important to begin with. And that happens to us all. If we're sick, then going to the doctor to get, you know, taken care of for that is urgent, right? But if we had gotten good sleep and ate well and just taken care of ourselves, which is important, we might not be sick. So we've got to be able to figure out how do we begin to focus more on the important things so that the urgent things don't become such a big deal to us. We get focused in there. Seth Godin, one of the authors that I like to read, he's kind of this marketing kind of thought leader guy that writes some really cool stuff. He said this, that if you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. If you'll choose more important things, then you won't have to deal with as many urgent things. And that is a truth that I think we need to be able to wrap into our lives and allow that to take place. Because that may be true, but guess what? The opposite isn't true. If you deal with more urgent things, you won't be able to take care of more important things. The important will always get shoved to the back, and the urgent will always be right in front of you, and you'll never get them taken care of. So we have to be able to find a way to put the important things into our lives. And so today we're going to look at a really interesting account in the scriptures that is, it's a pretty short little thing, but it teaches so much about this idea of choosing the important over the urgent. It's found in Luke chapter 10, and it's about two sisters named Mary and Martha. Sounds kind of like a sitcom on CBS, Mary and Martha or whatever, but it's these two sisters. And we're going to find out that one of them chooses one thing and the other chooses another, and we're going to see the very distinct difference that happens in their lives and what Jesus says about their choices. Because Martha, she becomes overwhelmed with the urgent. And Mary tends to come in and focus on the important. So here we go. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Two choices, two very different decisions, and we find out that one is important and the other is more urgent and not as important. Martha gets all kind of wigged out over what's happening with Mary. She's there trying to take care of her guest. I mean, think about it. Jesus has come to her house. Now, let me just tell you that if you are invited to our house and you're coming over, there's going to be something that happens before you get there. All right, so Kelly, my wife, does a great job of taking care of our house and keeping it in order and all of that. The other three of us do a really good job of tearing that apart. All right, so, and it doesn't take long. Sometimes before get the dust completely wiped off, we're already starting to cause other issues in there. It's kind of this thing that goes on. But if you're coming to our house, you need to know before you get there that there is something taking place. And it's this moment where everybody is running around the house getting everything together. You know, if it's, you know, Erin, my youngest, it's her. It's grabbing all of our shoes and stacking them up the steps. If you've ever seen that, that's how that goes in our house. If it's Allie, she's just trying to find her headphones. And then Kelly and I are trying to put everything in the place. Because that's how it goes. We want it to look good for you to come. But now, think about it. If we go to that extreme for you guys, what if Jesus is coming? I mean, the Son of God is coming in. Man, I'm putting up the family dollar cents, and I'm pulling out the Bed Bath & Beyond candles. You know, I'm lighting up the good stuff. I'm making sure that everything's wiped down just right and everything goes good. We want it to be the best. And here's Martha. She's kind of doing the same thing. She's going nuts over making sure that everything is in order for her guests. And so she's really spending some time on it. But she's not very happy with Mary. She's not liking what Mary's doing over there. She's wanting her to be part of it. And in verse 40, it says this: but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Basically, Martha goes and she tattles on Mary, right? You ever been tattled on? You ever been tattled on as an adult? Man, that just drives me bananas. But here's Martha who feels like she has to go tell somebody that the things aren't being done the way she wants. And so she goes to Jesus and she says, "Don't you care that she's not paying attention to what needs to be done? Don't you care that she's not involved in the ministry? Don't you care that she has nothing to do with this thing that I think is important? Tell her to help." I don't know about you, but you know, for me, I find myself a lot of times like Martha. I find myself really distracted and focus on some things that maybe aren't so important sometimes. I know more and more and more I find myself getting distracted in a lot of ways, you know. Wasn't too long ago that I was hunting my car keys. You know where they were? They were in my hand, all right? Hooked onto my finger, no less. They were right there the whole time I was looking at them. The other day, I was looking for my sunglasses. I couldn't find them. I was looking all over the place. And finally, I took my sunglasses off so I could look for my sunglasses. True story, okay? So sometimes we get so distracted with stuff that we totally, you know, kind of lose touch with reality. And here's Martha, man, she is just focused in on making sure that that everything is just so in these preparations. I love the fact that it says this, by all the preparations that had to be made. Do you think they really had to be made? They did to Martha, but do you think Jesus really cared? I just don't think he did. And so here's this idea that she was so focused on what needed to happen, but everybody else didn't seem to be doing some of the same things. So she's kind of throwing this fit and tell her, Jesus, to help me get this done. But I wonder how many of us have been like Martha, where we've been faithfully pursuing the urgent at the cost of missing the important. Just think about it. How many times have you gotten so focused on getting all these things done that we just miss on what really God wants us to do and what he's trying to teach us to do? I put a question in on your outline there that you were handed on your program, and it kind of brings us to this place. It's that question that we need to ask ourselves, and what's the most important thing that you've been distracted from pursuing? Think about your life and some of the important things that need to happen. And which ones have you been distracted from pursuing, the going after, making sure that you're taking care of it because you've been so focused on all the other things? I hope you'll take a moment, if not even now, but later on today or this week, and just really think about that question. What is it that you've been missing out on that God really wants you to be focused on? I think if we're sitting in here, you know, most of us have come to a place where we've accepted Christ and become a Christian, that we've acknowledged that Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, that we've asked him to forgive us of our sins, we've accepted him and become a follower of him, knowing that Jesus died on that cross, he was buried and raised again, and so we have this amazing gift that we've been given of salvation. And so as followers of Jesus, we find ourselves missing out on so much of this. And as we're sitting here being focused on this, that even for us, that most important thing should be a relationship with Jesus, but we've been so focused on all the other relationships. We're focused on all the other stuff. We've been more worried about making sure that our bills get paid than the one who does provide for us. All of those things gets taken care of. So busy doing things that we miss out on that relationship with him. Maybe you've become so busy with your children that you really haven't even been able to enjoy your kids. You know, that's one of those things that I think sometimes as parents we get so busy on doing everything for our kids that we just never take time to enjoy them. Maybe you've become one of those child-centered parents where your kids have become so important that your spouse is the one that you've seemed to have forgotten about. And last time I read, the Bible says that you and your spouse became one. That means that they become more important. Even as you have kids, that your spouse is still the most important relationship on earth that you have. And have you become so focused on your kids and the urgent things you have to do for them that you haven't focused on what's most important with your spouse? Some of us, I think, could easily, just having a conversation earlier with somebody that has just done a phenomenal job taking care of themselves and losing weight and all that, and I'm thinking, man, I need to do that. And I've, you know, some of us have gotten to where we've neglected our bodies and all of that, and we want to do what's right, but we don't. We just think, oh, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to take care of myself. Just can't get into the habit of it, you know, just don't have time for that, but seems like we have time for everything else. Maybe there's an addiction or a habit or this recurring sin that you know you need to deal with, but you just say, you know what, I don't have time to deal with that right now, just life is too busy, and you're totally missing out on what's most important in your life, what God wants to do most, because you become so focused on the urgent of just getting life done on a day-to-day basis. I think we're kind of all in that boat in some shape or fashion. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus answers Martha's plea there. And he says this. He says, Martha, Martha. And I can just see him like, Martha, Martha, just hold on. He says, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. He says, you were worried and upset about a lot of stuff, but listen, you need to bring this back in. You got all the urgent things in front of you, but you got to bring this back to the most important thing. And Mary's she's found it. She's figured it out. And I'm not taking it away from her. I'm not going to tell her to stop hanging out with me and listening and learning and investing in her relationship with me. Maybe it's you, Martha, that needs to be refocused. If we're not intentional about focusing in on the important, I promise you, the urgent will always crowd out the important. It will always take precedence. It will always steal that time away because it's right in front of us. But we've got to learn to be focused on what God wants for us and what He's trying to teach us and show us and what it is that He has purposed for us so that we can grow. Mary chose what was better. She chose the good thing rather than just the things that nobody was even going to remember in the end anyway. So we need to understand that there is an importance of being focused in on what God has for us rather than just what the world may keep throwing at us. So listen, I don't want to just kind of keep throwing that out at you. Let's look at some very specific things that we can do, that some very practical things that I've been trying to focus in my life and trying to learn from scriptures and just be able to see what it is that God wants me to do. How can we choose the important in our lives? How can we choose it over the urgent? The first thing is this, that we can create artificial deadlines. Now, what happens a lot of times, I am the chief procrastinator amongst us, all right? That's me. I got amens over here from my family because that's just me. And it will get done. It just won't get done till the end, the last minute. It just, that's the way it goes. And so I admit it. I am the one that does it. And so maybe you're like me and you're good at putting things off as well. But here's the thing, if we can create some artificial deadlines and put some lines in the sand of like, here, we've got to get this done, then what I've been learning in my own life is that if I'll go ahead and set them up beforehand, then I can get it done, and then the important stays in front of me, and the urgent can sometimes, it can find its place, and it'll get taken care of. Create artificial deadlines. Just think about it. When does my Sunday morning message need to be ready? By Sunday morning, that's right. As long as I'm ready to roll at 10:30, hey, we're all good. You know, sometimes, you know, if Austin sings long enough, I can stretch it till about 11. You know, as long as I'm good to go by the end, we're all good. But here's the thing. Do you think that the Sunday morning message is a little important and that God really would want to do something good through that? I mean, y'all came and, you know, you didn't come to hear me talk, but you came to get something and to be able to grow from it, right? And so it's a little bit important for us that a Sunday morning message would be ready. So should I wait till Sunday morning at 10:30 to get my message ready? No. So I got to tell you that there are some times, though, that it's Saturday night and kind of polishing up a little bit. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, it's Friday or whatever. So what I've been doing lately is trying to get myself ready, not on Saturday, not on Friday, but I've been trying to have my message done by Thursday. So that if I have it done by Thursday, then one, I get to take a little time off, right? Y'all get a weekend. It's nice for me to have a day off here and there. So if I can get it done, I have one. And so if I get it done, though, then I've got all that time that God can, you know, I can continue to pray through it and work through it. And God can just begin to shape it and try to make it a little bit better than maybe it would be if I just came in by the seat of my pants, right? So that if I can set that up by Thursday and have it ready to go, then I don't have to worry about something urgent coming in on Friday or Saturday and messing that up. So whatever it is for you, maybe there's things that you need to get taken care of that if you could begin to look at it and set it up so that, hey, that needs to be done by then, but if I'll go ahead and do it by this time, then I don't have to worry about running out of time to get it done. So sometimes it's like, we'll say, I'll wait till the last minute to leave. You got somewhere to be, you're taking your kids somewhere, and you wait till the last minute and you leave, and then what do you find? Like there's a wreck, and now you've missed out. But if you could have set your deadline to, 15 minutes, 30 minutes earlier, to make sure that important thing was taken care of, then you could have been there. So whatever it is in your life that seems to be missing out on that you know is important, then begin to set yourself up with some artificial deadlines to get it done, get it in. Maybe it's that you want to grow in your relationship, and your quiet time is something that you need to do, that you know that you need to open your Bible and begin to read it, that you need to pray and you need to just have some time with God so that you grow in your relationship with Him. What happens if you try to just wing that or put that later up in your day? Something always happens, doesn't it? Something comes along and it just eats up that time and it's gone. So if that's important to you, then my suggestion is you need to begin to shift it down earlier in your day. Maybe that needs to be the first thing that you do when you get up in the morning, that you just know you're going to set that and that's going to be your time. You're going to get it done first thing in the morning. But set some artificial deadlines so that you don't wait till the last minute and find yourself just, trying to scramble and get it done. The second thing is this: be ruthlessly, I said, selective in your yeses. This is one of those things that, I feel like I need to tattoo this on me somewhere where I will see it on a regular basis. Because really, most of us, we aren't good at saying no to stuff. And we need to figure out what are the things that we're going to be just dogmatic about saying yes to. If we say yes to everything, I promise the urgent will take over your important. Begin to find out what it is that you're going to say yes to, and then do that. The barrier to a meaningful life is not a lack of commitment, I don't believe. I don't think that's what keeps us from experiencing all that God wants us to be is the lack of commitment. I think it's the overcommitment that most of us have that gets us in trouble. It keeps us, we are so committed to so many different things that we've not been able to say no to some things and say yes to the important things that we've missed out on it. And so I know for me that overcommitment gets me in trouble all the time. So what can I do about that? I got to be selectively ruthless about what I say yes to. And if you're going to be successful in keeping the important out in front of you, you've got to be selectively ruthless about what you allow yourself to do. Sometimes we have to say no to good opportunities. Sometimes we have to say no to good things so that we can say yes to better things. And we need to be able to do that. It's difficult. It's not something, let me just make sure that you get, I don't have this mastered. I wish I did, but I know that if I can continue to work on these things, then I can continue to push the important forward and let some of this urgent stuff, it'll take care of itself. I believe that. So we've got to be able to do that. The best leaders don't do more, they do more of what matters most. The best moms, they don't do more, they do more of what matters most. The best teachers don't do more, they do more of what matters most. And they invest their energy into that. The best and most effective followers of Jesus don't do more. Listen, that's one of the fallacies of churches, that I have to do more. I don't expect you to do more, but I do expect you to do what's asked of us clearly in the Scriptures and just do more of that. It's pretty simple. To be able to grow in that relationship, come together. This is important for us to be together and to grow together. Listen, if I could get you to be in a life group, where you're growing out in some spiritual study outside of just Sunday morning. If I could get you to be in a life group, if I could get you to serve in a ministry and be at church on a regular basis, man, I promise that God would, he would do some awesome stuff in your life. And that's not asking too much of anything. Go sign your kid up for ball and see what's required of you to do that. Man, it's like every night, you know, you got to be somewhere and something and practice this and game that and all that. Listen, just come to church on a regular basis. Get yourself into a study where you can begin to learn and grow in your relationship with God and just find a place to serve. It's pretty much that simple. You would grow, and those the important in your walk will begin to take over, and you would see that the urgent doesn't get in the way as much. If you want a more meaningful life, say no more and be ruthless in what you say yes to. You got to be able to do that. The third thing is this. This is the most important one, I think, is to do first what matters most. Do first what matters most. If I have time, then I'll do that. If I wish I had more time, and then I would do this one day. If everything slowed down, then I'll be able to do whatever. I hear those a lot. Whatever matters most, we need to do first. If it's our quiet time and our Bible study, then do it first. Get it taken care of and allow God to use it and grow in it. If it's your generosity and giving, do it first and allow that to take over and be most important. And the urgent won't come in and chew that away. Do what it is that's most important. And do it first. Get it taken care of. Get your life into a place where things that are most important, not what your preacher says is most important, not what, you know, what Dr. Phil says is most important, not what any of that stuff is, but do what the Bible tells us is most important. If we'll do those things first, if we'll give those things first, our attention, then the urgent will not come in and take our time away and take our energy away and take our focus away. We need to be able to align those up so that that's where we begin. Martha was distracted because she had all this stuff that she thought needed to be done first, but really what she was trying to do first wasn't what mattered most, and Mary got that. She got down at Jesus' feet and began to listen to the things that he was teaching, to begin to listen and hear what he had for her. And so we need to be able to do that. Matthew 6:33 says, Jesus said, listen, seek first my kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all those things, all the other stuff would be added to it. Listen, if we'll put him first, if we'll seek him first in all of our lives, if we'll seek him first in our dating, if we'll seek him first in our marriage, if we'll seek him first in our raising of our kids, if we'll seek him first in our generosity, if we'll seek him first in whatever it is that we may do, then listen, all the other things will be taken care of. We won't get distracted and find ourselves wandering around trying to make things happen. I think the church can be pretty guilty of that sometimes too. We begin to try to put things in front of others, and when we need to really ask God, what's most important? And let's do that, and then the other things begin to take care of themselves. Find out what it is for you. What is it that matters most? What is it you know God wants to move and change in your life, and begin to seek that first in everything that you do? When we do more of what's important, we'll have fewer things that are urgent. If we'll do the important things first, we'll find we have a lot less urgency and things that are really coming at us. But you know what? The flip side is never true. If we do more urgent, we'll find more important things are taken care of. It just doesn't happen that way. So how can you put that first? How can you be willing to say no to a good opportunity so that God can give you the best? Mary, chosen what was better. And Jesus said it won't be taken away from her. If you and I will do what's first, and Jesus says, listen, it won't be taken away from us. We'll be able to grow from it, and we'll be able to move on from it, knowing that we're moving towards the purpose that we have rather than backpedaling towards something that's not for us at all. So what is it in your life? What is truly most important? Today I'm going to invite you to figure out what's most important and begin to put that first in your life. Means you're going to have to say no to some stuff that you've been saying yes to. Means that you're going to have to be pretty ruthless about those yeses. It means that, you know, you're going to have to really maybe just take some time and take a step back. But you know what? It's kind of a good time of year to do it. It's summer. You know, things tend to kind of quiet down a little bit for most of us. Maybe you got a vacation coming where you can just take some time and step back. I would invite you to be willing to do that, so that God can begin to do what it is that He wants to do in your life. Listen, you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't do both. So today in our lives, what is it that's most important, and what do we need to begin to make progress in? God, we pray today that You would just take Your word, and as we've learned from the life of Mary and Martha, God, the example that You've given us, and how to manage this choice of important over urgent. God, I pray today that You would begin to help us. Maybe we've been so much like Martha, where we have worn ourselves out trying to do what's urgent. We've worn ourselves out trying to get all these little things in place. And we've been trying to do all of these things, but God, we've never once stopped and began to really just seek out what it is that You tell us is most important. Maybe for some of us in the room, we've been seeking out urgently how to find peace and how to find joy and how to find all the things that we know we were created to have, but God, we can't find it in anything. Then God, maybe today it's time to quit chasing those urgent things and focus in on what's most important, and that's a relationship with You. Maybe today there's folks here that need to begin that relationship to acknowledge that Jesus came and lived a sinless life. He came to live an example for us. Quite often he definitely let the urgent go and focused in on the important. He would teach and He would model that. But He came and He lived that sinless life so that He could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And He died on a cross, paying the price and the penalty for the sins of all mankind. He died on that cross there to set us free. So today we have an opportunity to accept that. For those in the room that have never done it, it's to accept knowing that the price is paid. But He didn't stop there. He was taken off the cross and put into a tomb. And on the third day, He was raised again so that life could not end here with just forgiveness. But God, You could give us life eternal in Your presence. So God, today I pray that if there's anyone here that needs to make that decision, that they would do it here and do it now. God, for those of us that have spent so much energy on importance or on urgency, but not on the importance that we have a relationship with You, we've just never given You everything, and we've just never stepped back to see what it is that you want for us. God, I pray that be willing to forgive, ask for forgiveness, and be willing to, God, to just move forward in that relationship with You. God, what do You need to do in our lives? Whatever it is, pray that we would allow You to do it. God, I know You stand ready, that Your Holy Spirit is here to come in and move and allow us to experience You fully, but God, we've just resisted. And so I pray in these moments that we would be willing to let go and let You do whatever it is that You want to do. So God, we love You today, and we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.